Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to yet another episode of Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, a mysterious black ring of smoke appeared above Disneyland last week. This ring was captured on video by a Disneyland patron. Strangely, this type of object has been spotted before, above a military base in 1957. It was later included in the Condon Report, a U.S. Air Force report on UFO encounters. Why were the aliens visiting Disneyland? Well, the park closed 4 days later because of coronavirus. They probably wanted to enjoy the rides one last time. A spokesperson for the Chinese Foreign Ministry speculated yesterday that the coronavirus might not have originated in China, but rather have been developed by the U.S. Army, making reference to a popular conspiracy theory on Chinese social media that stated the virus could have come from one of the 300 athletes from the U.S. who attended the 7th Military World Games in Wuhan back in October. This is, of course, thought to be false, according to information gathered by the World Health Organization. And finally, Harvey Weinstein, in a bizarre rant just before he was sentenced to 23 years in prison, compared the Me Too movement to McCarthyism, claimed he'd been falsely accused, and that he and men in general were, quote, totally confused, unquote, about feminism. The speech was rambling, lasted for about 10 minutes, and it's a little unclear exactly what he was trying to say. Back to you, Chauncey.
You know, the ring of smoke above Disneyland, I immediately on this one go to some sort of, like, demonic halo or something.
That's kind of what it looks like. It looks like an omen of doom. I mean, let's not mince words. It's like, you know, the Dark Mark in Harry Potter. You see it floating above something, you're like, oh, something bad has happened here.
Yeah.
But that's what it looked like. The video's worth watching. It's kind of freaky looking.
So where did this happen before I remember us reporting on this? You said that there were similar sightings somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know that we'd reported on it, but it was at a military base. I want to say it was in West Virginia.
Well, I've looked up a couple of these. Okay, then I must be pulling from my own brain here, because I've looked up a couple of these.
Well, so, yeah, you're right. These have happened a few times.
And what excuse did they give for them last time? There seemed to be a reason last time.
It's like they don't know. It is still unidentified.
I think
commenters online have said, you know, oh, it's a swarm of birds, or just flying in a ring.
That's creepy.
Which is
too,
also terrifying.
Creepy,
yeah, exactly. You know? Or, you know, oh, it's smoke produced by the rides, which I don't know about terrifying, but a little unsettling if you're planning to get on one of those rides.
It's not the smoke produced by the ride that, for one, I think it's a little weird that any of the rides are diesel powered. But, you know, I kind of imagine them all to be electric, but. I imagine some guy with a wrench in there kicking it, you know, making sure that it works.
They're just wood-burning rides. They've been there since, you know, the 1840s. They've just got guys shoveling branches into a furnace.
Right, and they're working off the newfangled technology of steam power.
Exactly, they're steam powered. Steampunk Disneyland, which would actually be awesome.
Oh, totally. It's like Harry Potter already. I want to go to the Harry Potter world. That's like the one I want to go to the most. Universal Studios and Harry Potter world.
Indeed.
Legoland.
I mean, Harry Potter. Well, Harry Potter is kind of steampunk. It's got that sensibility.
Yeah.
But like, it's, you know, it's magic, not steam. But I guess that's how most steampunk actually is.
Right. And that's how the exciting invention of steam power looks to people these days.
Indistinguishable from magic. The steamboat can carry you down a river 20 miles an hour.
Yeah. I don't think I'm getting away from possible rampant Satanism going on at Disneyland, though.
It's possible. One commenter said that this ring had been sighted also like a few years earlier in Disneyland, too.
Right.
So, are they doing dark rituals? Yes.
Sacrificing a kid every couple of years. It makes sense.
No one would notice.
Nothing has ever made this much sense before.
You're right. And honestly, I didn't even think of that when I was on the aliens kick, but some kind of physical manifestation of the darkness of Disneyland makes
your slippage
much more sense.
Your slip.
I am.
All right. Corona developed by the U.S. Sure, we've all entertained this. Delivered by athletes? No. I'm not going with that one, but we've all entertained that, you know, the joke around here lately has been that coronavirus was made and put out by Amazon to secure a world of mail order shipping.
Which I could believe, actually.
You know, so that's where I'm
shockingly
with
plausible.
The, right, with that conspiracy, but I don't know, you know. I mean, what's the term going around? The boomer remover, you know, on an economic level, you know, clearing out old people would help the economy in 10 years. So, I mean, it's possible a government would do this, but I don't think any government actually believes that
they
have enough control of a virus to release it on purpose. And then Harvey Weinstein, the Me Too movement, like McCarthyism.
Yeah.
I get why he would say that. But, of course, he's, you know, he's not the person to say it. You know, if maybe a guy like Louis C.K. said it, I might go like, man, I get where he's coming from. You're still being a little crap about it. But, you know, but Harvey Weinstein was a straight-up rapist.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that counts as, like, the Me Too movement is failing us.
No, I think that counts as finally rich and powerful rapists are going to prison sometimes.
Right.
Like, very few times, but still, that's more than zero. So.
You know, as a middle-aged white man, though, I watch it go on, and I understand why white men are just like, oh my God, you know, because part of me feels that. Like, oh God, you know, am I going to get in some sort of trouble? The other part of me knows that I've been married for 16 years and there's no chance in hell that's going to happen. But, but you know, it's like, here's to put it into this weird perspective of what could happen. I watched this show, I think I've told you this before, about a child pornography ring.
Okay.
And this guy's home with his family, and the feds bust in the door, and they arrest this guy because he's got a bunch of child porn on his computer.
Sure.
His family leaves him. He goes to prison. Well, years later, it turns out that his computer had been hacked and that other people were storing and serving up information from his computer. You know, so that's kind
right,
of the paranoia that comes to people. Don't get me wrong. I'm just putting out some understanding out there to
other people like me to
remind them that this is not what's going on, and supporting other people to get the equalities that you have is definitely where we should be going. So having a little fear, it's not uncommon that doing the right thing can be a little bit scary. So, you know, tighten up your pants and let's go. You know,
well, you know, whenever I'm like at the TSA or something, like when I'm trying to get on a flight, or just whenever I'm around the police in general, I'm just like, what if I have a gun and I don't realize? You know, is that
kind of... That sort of thing crosses my mind,
is
too.
Is that kind of anxiety, like...
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've literally never held a gun in my life. I don't know that I've been in the same room as a handgun ever.
Mine's a little realistic, but not much more realistic. It's like, oh, crap, where did I put that pocket knife I had when I was 12? Do I have it in my pants pocket now?
Yeah. Well, it's that kind of thing, and I'm just like, oh, no.
Right, yeah. And
what
and
if I'm actually a serial killer and they know, but I don't, because it's a born identity kind of situation. Oh, Will they believe that I've lost my memories?
Well, this coronavirus situation right now is a prime example of, you know, how people can react when they're scared.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And, you know, the big thing in the news right now, they bought up all the freaking baby formula so that they can, what, make cookies and bake bread while they're in... I mean, babies need baby formula. I'm adopted. My mom was not making any breast milk. I had to be raised on baby formula. There are a lot of babies out there who need baby formula.
No, that's, I mean,
and these
that's
people
not
who
great.
Are buying it up, they're planning on, like, making mac and cheese with it.
Wait, what?
No, seriously. Yeah, no, I...
baby formula mac and cheese?
As a replacement for milk.
That's still kind of... I don't know. That's just
weird.
Well,
I mean,
to
baby
me.
Formula is not dehydrated lady breast milk.
Well, I know. I just...
Although it is
I'm
still
just,
gross. Don't get me
I'm
wrong.
I'm just being squeamish, I guess.
Yeah. One way to lose weight fast would be to get the coronavirus.
That's probably true.
So, you know, don't beat yourself
Although up. I don't know if it causes weight loss, but it might just make you too fatigued to do
it. I think it causes lack of appetite.
Does it, though? I didn't realize
just
that.
Being sick in general makes you lay around and moan into a pillow.
Okay,
the silver lining
I
on the coronavirus is, if I get it, I'm hoping to lose a couple pounds.
Possibly all of them.
All pounds. How many pounds is the human soul? 2.7 grams or something? I'm going to lose it that much.
You're going to cut down your weight. The weight of the human soul.
Yeah. The rest of me is going to be there and dead. Yeah. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland, coming up on break time. After that, who knows?
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, president of We Back the Blue Shasta, wanting to spread the word to all North State first responders, police, fire, EMS, and dispatchers. We are bringing nationally certified Code 9 PTSD and suicide prevention training right here to Shasta County, starting March 24th at Simpson University. There are seminars for command staff, frontline first responders, or their families. We have paid so you can attend for free. Details and registration on our We Back the Blue Shasta Facebook page.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Dr. Michael P. Masters. You know, it's weird for a... educated gentlemen such as yourself to actually be interested in the things that we're actually interested in. So I think I'm going to start right out of the gate here and ask you, how did you get here? How did you get interested in UFOs?
Well, it's actually been sort of a lifelong pursuit. I was very young when it happened. I was only 8 years old. And I overheard a story that my father was telling to some friends that were over at our house. And he described a UFO encounter that many people have had, the same sort of close encounter scenario with a bright light in the sky. Clearly wasn't a satellite, wasn't headlights, darted toward the truck, darted away, shot up into the sky. Not something you can explain with conventional aircraft or anything else. And it got me interested in what exactly this is. And what was really, I think, a life-altering situation, though, is just after that, he probably trying to figure out this phenomenon on his own level, like because he was baffled by what just happened. He bought Whitley Communion's or Whitley Strieber's book, Willie Strieber, I think is how you actually pronounce that. I literally just talked to him like 3 hours ago, so it's weird that I just mispronounced his name. Yeah. But Willie Strieber's book, Communion, he had bought that to try to unravel this mystery or at least get some understanding of it. And I looked up on the living room shelf and saw that book. And then there's just this sort of mental image that popped in my head with a primitive ancestral human chimpanzee-like individual, a modern human, and then this alien on the right side, like all kind of put in the same sequence. And I wondered if maybe there could be some sort of connection there, like a phylogenetic connection where we're related to them, where we're all related, where they're related to us, we're related to these human-like beings of the past. And from that point on, it just became sort of a passion project of mine. I went to college to find this out. I started out in physics and astronomy because I thought that was a good place to start. And I'm kind of glad I switched to anthropology. There's a lot of other people who are also researching this question in the context of physics. And
That was definitely going to be my follow-up question to this. Is working. So a lot of the people down in the UFO trenches, you know, feel that, okay, people know at some level, people know they're keeping it covered up and stuff like that. You know, so your experience in a more collegiate situation, is probably quite different, you know, and a lot of the time, you know, your teaching might teach that out of you. How do you get past that?
Well, you know, honestly, we're at a place now where I feel like we're at a precipice of change, to be honest, where historically and until very recently, this isn't something we could really discuss. And certainly not trying to come out and say this is real and this is potentially what it is, which is what I'm trying to do with this book and others have as well. But you're right, in the context of academia, it's frowned upon, it's ridiculed, there's stigma. But honestly, I haven't felt that. I get it a little bit from some of my academic colleagues who will just have a knee-jerk reaction. They'll turn a blind eye. They'll say, well, it's UFOs, it's aliens. He's clearly a crackpot. He's crazy. But the onus is on those people. The burden of proof is on those people. They're not doing their job as scientists and just turning away from this phenomenon that's been coming out in mainstream media outlets that the Navy has obviously been talking about, that there's this since the New York Times piece in 2017. So I kind of feel like we're at a turning point and a moment of reckoning, if you will, where these people are going to look back and say, you know what, this was our jobs. Our job was to investigate big questions and to try to understand things using the scientific method. And I feel like they're failing society. I feel like they're failing the UFO community and people that are interested in this, people that are asking questions. I feel like they're failing science, to be honest. And so I'm perfectly happy to not only stick my head out, but also to call out my academic colleagues who are going to be high and mighty and say, well, no, we're going to stick to this arcane notion that this isn't real. And all the people that talk about it are crazy. We should all be talking about this. And I'm happy to get out there and stick my head out and try to lead that charge. And others are. It's not just me. There's a lot of other people doing this.
Earlier, you mentioned your book there for a second. Identified Flying Objects, a Multidisciplinary Scientific Approach to the UFO Phenomenon. That is a large title to dissect. Can you break that up for us a little bit?
You're right. I can't even remember it. I wrote the damn book.
Well, I have notes.
All right. I should keep notes. But no, and even the title itself sounds a little narcissistic. But as I explain in the first chapter of the book, I'm not trying to say that I solved this. I figured it out.
Right.
I'm not trying to say that I identified this thing and this is the be all and end all. but rather just change the narrative around it. The main right. thing I was trying to do is get away from UFO. And the whole UAP thing is an attempt to do that as well. It's not just me. Again, a lot of people are trying to just move us past what it is. And so by changing it to IFO in the book, it automatically takes people's minds away from UFO. And so it's more of a semantic thing, I guess you could say.
The premise of the book is really that that you're taking UFO factoids, information, and stuff that we've collected over the years, and you're addressing them from a time-traveling human standpoint other than a UFO standpoint in order to try to wrap it in another possible narrative?
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, but almost the flip side of that, where I'm trying to take long-term evolutionary changes in human culture and biology and then put those in the context of UFOs. So I do bring in a couple of abduction reports and reports of close encounters, but for the most part, it's really trying to just look at what's happened to us in the past. What are the dominant trends in human evolution, both culturally and biologically, that if they extend into the future, would make us look and act like these things that are commonly referred to as extraterrestrials or aliens? And one of the biggest things that I focus on, one of the most dominant trends in hominin evolution, is an increase in brain size, what we call encephalization, a reduction in facial anatomy, both the mid and lower face, which is known as the reduced prognathic face. And if those same trends continued, as they have throughout the last 6 million years, we're likely to have bigger heads and smaller faces, and specifically more globular crania, bigger, rounder skulls. And that's a more recent trend. That's just been in the last 200,000 years. That's one of the traits that defines humans, modern humans, anatomically modern Homo sapiens sapiens. So if those same trends continued, we would look very much like these gray aliens or these Asian or Nordic looking individuals that are so commonly described in these instances of close encounters and especially abductions, where they get a really good look at these individuals. So to answer your question, I mostly approach it from the context of long-term changes in hominin evolution, bringing in also astrobiology, astronomy, and the physics of time travel, which obviously needs to be addressed. And then just try to paint a holistic picture of how they might be us. They might just be us in the future, coming back to study their own past in the same way that I would as a biological anthropologist if I had access to that technology.
I'm Chuck Penny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Many people may not know that we started a propane tank refurbishing business about 5 years ago. We pick up tanks from various propane companies, bring them to our yard in Anderson, where we blast the old paint and rust off, repaint them with a very durable paint, and then install new valves. The tank is just like a new tank. We primarily sell these tanks in truckloads of 45 to other propane companies. I'm telling you about our new business because many of you are installing generators because of the probability of the power being shut off this summer. Shasta Gas Propane now sells standby generators and propane tanks so that you won't be left without power. Give us a call at 365-3793 so we can come to your house and give you a quote on a generator and tank. Again, that's 365-3793.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
CareNet Pregnancy Center, a faith-based medical facility in Shasta County, will hold their annual 5K fun run and walk at the Sundial Bridge at Turtle Bay on Saturday, April 18th. The Knights of Columbus will provide a pancake breakfast. CareNet receives no government funds. They're completely supported by listeners like you. For more information or to register, visit carenetreading.org. Life, it's worth running for.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us. You are listening to Dr. Michael P. Masters right here on Radio Wasteland as we discuss whether or not extraterrestrials in flying saucers are actually visiting evolved humans from the future.
Yeah, so part of it, as ridiculous as it sounds, is the argument I had as a kid, and that is, why do all the aliens across the galaxy on Star Trek look like people with weird foreheads?
Yeah. And not just back then, but the show The Orville. What's his name? Seth MacFarlane. Yeah. Same thing. And they all speak English.
Right.
They're all very Caucasian for some reason. Sometimes they'll throw in, the token black person or Asian person. But for the most part, they're just white people speaking English.
With weird
foreheads.
That's
what we know. We can associate with that. But that's not what anything, I don't even say people, there wouldn't be people on other planets. If they had a different gravity, different distance from their sun, different chemistry, different coding system, they're not likely to have the DNA that we have or the RNA that preceded that. They're not going to look anything like us, let alone be able to communicate with us in our own languages, be close enough to us to be able to find us and to come here and to be slightly more advanced. Like all of those things just scream future humans, if you think about it.
I think another pop culture reference, as long as we're doing that, that's sort of pertinent to the conversation, is
absolutely
Interstellar. where it turns out, spoilers everyone, but really you all should have seen Interstellar by now. It's a great movie.
By now everybody should. It's a great movie.
at the end of the movie, these aliens who were helping humanity survive this environmental crisis the entire time, it's figured out they're us. They've just learned to manipulate space-time and, you know, by extension, time travel, basically. So if this is an idea that's floating around.
Absolutely. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And what was so cool about publishing this book is that I realized just how many other people have thought this for so long. And I never claim that this is an original idea. I mean, it was to me as an 8-year-old. In that sense, it is original. But there's so many people that have been talking. It showed up in songs. It showed up in little clips in movies. There's people that have written papers about it. And that's because it makes sense. And that's because potentially that's what is actually happening here. So I'm building a case around this from my research, from my work as an anthropologist and the research I've done in physics and astronomy and astrobiology. But there's so many others contributing to this right now. Diane Tessman just published a book last month, I think, called Future Humans and the UFOs, that lays out a case for this exact same thing. It's been the same sort of lifelong pursuit for her as well. There's a lot of researchers advocating for this because it makes sense.
So in a sense, what we're seeing is like a paradigm shift in the UFO community.
Hopefully. I mean, at least something to bring into the conversation. You know, and there may still be some extraterrestrial aspect to this. I'm not saying we should replace the extraterrestrial hypothesis, but we should at least consider this as a valid alternative to that, especially based on just how logical it is, how much sense it makes in the context of what people report.
Yeah, Kara's pointed out several times on the show that if you're able to travel faster than the speed of light, you're able to travel through time. And that really one will not be achieved before the other one necessarily if it's a matter of speed.
Right, they're the same. And we should probably talk about like the physics of time travel later.
Absolutely, yeah. It's an important part.
Other than the hominid resemblance, do we have any other information that really would lead us to this conclusion? You know, I guess the research aspect of what they're doing to us when they get here or what they appear to be doing. But, you know, what would you say?
Well, I mean, obviously people's individual accounts, their experiences, those should not be discounted. But it's not something we can count as evidence in a strictly scientific sense. Like eyewitness accounts, that holds up in court. That's something that is taken into account in the litigation process. But in science, it doesn't really matter. What people see, unless it's statistically, quantitatively observable, it doesn't really matter to us. So with that said, that's and one of the main reasons I don't hinge this hypothesis or what I present in the book on the reality of this phenomenon, these people should be taken seriously, and especially how consistent their reports are and how similar they are across all of these different people. I get emails every day, sometimes 4 or 5 a day from people that want to tell me their story, and they're so similar. And you're right. One of the most common things is that they're taken up, they're naked, they're laying on a table. These beings are walking around who are bipedal to start with. The thing that defines the hominin lineage is upright walking. They have eyes in the same place. Their mouth is in the same place. They have slightly bigger heads and smaller faces, as we talked about previously. But they do exactly what I would do as a paleoanthropologist if I had access to that technology. Like, I've worked on digs all around the world, and we're scraping through dirt or blasting through rock to try to get little tiny pieces of what humans did, what hominins did, our ancestors. But if we could actually go back through time, if we could spin back through layers of time rather than layers of dirt in a stratigraphical sense, we could learn so much more. And taking skin samples, hair samples, fecal samples, which is probably what gave rise to the anal probing thing. I gave this lecture today in class. The reason we know that Neanderthals ate 7,000 calories per day of mostly meat is from their poop. What are known as coprolites. We find their poop in caves. It's dried out. We can dissect that. We can see what's in it. We know they ate 7,000 calories per day of mostly meat from their turds. Why wouldn't we take turds of people? Why wouldn't we get that information? Take DNA, take blood.
Well, I think a big part of the argument tends to be when people are coming at it from that angle, and this is where things get weird, is technology. So I'm just going to huck a bunch of this out there at you, and then you can huck stuff back at me. But this is devil's advocacy. Sure. So for one, time travel would potentially damage the past or change, you know, causality, all that stuff. And then another argument tends to be that if they were able to do this, aliens or time travel, you know, in general, this is a generalized argument, sure. They could easily keep themselves from being discovered. And then also, if they were to scan your body, we have x-rays and stuff like that. Why would they be taking parts of us?
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that was a whole lot of questions all at once.
No, I wrote them all down. So the first one, those
tend to be the general skeptic arguments.
Yeah, and there's a couple others that come up a lot too that I could address too, especially related to like the movement of planets and how would they not only find when we are, but where we are in time. That's one that gets brought up a lot too. But no, a lot of people have this sense, and unfortunately it comes from pop culture references. It comes from things like Time Cop or Marty McFly and Back to the Future. But if you study time, and I'm not a physicist, but also physicists don't have a monopoly on time. Other people have been studying it for much longer, philosophers, anthropologist, obviously physicists as well. I do tend to side with the physicists more in their conventional notion of block time. And block time or landscape time is this way of understanding time as a four-dimensional entity. And we can either think of it as three dimensions that are moving or four dimensions that are static. And we impose movement in the context of our brains, our consciousness, as biological entities where we feel like we're moving through this. And for anybody who's ever taken mushrooms or done LSD, you get a disconnect from that. You get a sense that, wait, like the way I'm perceiving this isn't really the way this is. When we go to bed at night, it's the same thing. We go to sleep, we wake up instantly, and all of a sudden it's the morning. But what happened to that 8 hours where we were asleep and doing things? So time is more malleable in the sense of our consciousness and in the sense of our perception of it and how we move through it as biological entities. But in the context of the physics of time, entropy and the movement through time, ever since Einstein published his theory of general relativity and specifically the 10 field equations that went along with it back in 1915, there's been numerous solutions to those field equations that have shown that you can create closed time-like curves by rotating a massive or highly energetic ring, sphere, or oftentimes disk that's able to warp space-time so that you can return to the past. So if it's not forbidden by the laws of physics, and if we've already kind of been discovering how we might do that with something that looks a lot like a UFO, a rotating disc-like craft, then it makes sense how that might be the time machine itself, how that UFO might be the thing that allows them to travel back into the past. And so even beyond the biological traits, the physical traits that we share with them, the derived characteristics, the unique derived traits, as we call them in anthropology, that craft itself would seem to indicate that it's capable of bending space-time to the extent that it can travel to the past. So to get to your specific question of what happens, within the context of block time, there is no separation between past, present, and future. In the presence of a time machine, you can have the future, a future cause, create a past effect.
all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The California Teachers Association is looking to add transgender and binary youth to the students who can leave class without notifying parents for medical reasons. In other words, this means students can pursue gender transition without parents knowing about it. Permission slips are required to engage in extracurricular activities. But when it involves a student's health and well-being, folks, the CTA does not have the best interests of students at heart. In fact, it's their goal to push their agenda on vulnerable children. Please join PGI in prayer for parents and children impacted by this policy.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us. Are UFOs really just visiting humans from the future? Let's find out right now, listening to Michael P. Masters right here on Radio Wasteland.
We often get into conversations about sort of like the use of mainstream as a pejorative when it comes to science. And I think a lot of what it comes down to is a lot of people don't really have the training, but they want to weigh in anyway, and they kind of right. have a chip on their shoulders. You know?
You're absolutely right. So. And that's our failing. That's our failing as much as anybody else's. And honestly, like, we don't do a good job communicating with people in many ways. We write articles. We get on TV sometimes saying things on PBS or any number of documentaries that describe human evolution and the archaeological past. And it's interesting. It's tremendously interesting. But there's a segment of the population who sees us as the enemy, or we're not including things that they think should be included. And that's why I think it's important to draw that distinction. And that's why I'm so happy to come on shows like this and to talk to people directly, because it's us too. We are at fault too. It's just as much us as it is anybody else. We need to communicate to everybody. It's not just in talking in esoteric publications or on specific documentaries. We need to be talking to everybody. And so many of my anthropological colleagues, and especially in archaeology, fail to do that. They make an us versus them thing, that these people are crazy. We're right. We shouldn't be talking to them. They're idiots. They're just off in left field. No, everybody should be talking with each other, but we still need to differentiate between belief and evidence. That's a very, very important distinction.
What about pushback from the UFO community? Do you get any pushback from that?
More so than anybody else. It's crazy. I never expected that. I never expected that to happen. Yeah, it's been nuts.
They're a contentious bunch.
They are.
Surprised you discovered.
Yeah, but it's been fun. Too.
He says with a 1,000-yard stare in his eyes.
Well, I imagine totally. I imagine that. I imagine abductees might, people who feel that they went through a traumatic experience might have a pretty adverse reaction to telling them that what they believe and they've been trying to get other people to believe is different than what they believed. And I would guess maybe you would get some negative.
No, abductees, quite the opposite. Abductees have been overwhelmingly like, yeah, this feels like what happened to me.
Oh, really?
It's the ones, yeah, it across the board. It's been crazy. The ones that I get pushback from are the dogmatic pragmatists who are like, it's the extraterrestrial hypothesis. And it's crazy. Like, people just want it to be aliens from a different planet. And that's fine. Again, I'm not saying, and I've said this many times, and I mentioned this in the book, I'm not trying to claim to have all the answers. I'm not saying that this is what it is, but this should be considered, and we should look at all of these abduction reports. We should look at long-term evolutionary changes and consider this as well. But many people, especially in MUFON, and I don't mean to call them out specifically, but that's the place where I felt it the most. They gave a talk at their 50th anniversary conference in Irvine. I've never felt more attacked anywhere than at that conference. And it's crazy because I didn't expect that. I thought, oh, I'll go talk to UFO people. Like, I expected that from people in anthropology and physics and astrobiology. But no, it came from MUFON, and it came from people that are just there's sometimes charlatans that just make money off of the extraterrestrial hypothesis. They've latched them. So, and we have that in academia too. I'm used to that. I've been dealing with that for a long time.
And I realize you're not putting every MUFON person into that.
No,
you're just
absolutely
saying they're there.
I love MUFON. MUFON is a great organization. I love MUFON. I was so honored that they asked me to speak at this conference. Jan Harzan, awesome human being. He's doing great things there. I'm not throwing them under the bus, but I just didn't expect to be persecuted so much. It gets intense. You know, there's different Facebook groups that I interact with, but yeah, there's just so many people that are so opinionated about things and just like, if you're not on board with me, then you're wrong. But that's not what this should be. In the same way that I call out my academic colleagues for not doing their jobs as scientists, to be asking questions and investigating testable hypotheses, aren't we doing a disservice in the UFO community too by just instantly throwing up hands and saying, no, you're wrong because I believe this? Like, shouldn't we all be open-minded and trying to figure this out together?
Yeah, well, in this branch of, you know, who are some of the other people who are backing up some of this work? Who are some of the other people that you follow that are helping you get to this?
I mean, there's definitely, like I said, there's a lot of other people that have been arguing this for a while. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Diane Tessman's recent book that just came out, Future Humans and the UFOs. Jack Sarfati has been advocating this for a long time, a physicist. And actually, I'm really glad that I went the biological anthropology route, the human evolution route, because there's a lot of physicists that are actually talking about that. Rich Hoffman, I was on Coast to Coast AM with George Knapp a few months ago, and I started out the show, and then Jack Sarfati came on, and then Rich Hoffman, all three of us, as it turns out, and I didn't know this until I was on the show and I walked out of my office and listened to the rest of it because it was live on radio, all have been saying the same thing, but from very different points of view. So to listen to that and for George Knapp, obviously, is a legend. He's awesome. But for him to put together this show that starts with a biological anthropologist, a physicist, and another scientist who have all been talking about this for so long and make the case without knowing each other or even on was amazing. It was so cool to be a part of that.
Unfortunately, we're here at the end of our time with you. I'd like to make sure that our audience knows where can they get their hands on your book and specifically find out more about you and what you're teaching. But let's start with your book.
Yeah, the book's on Amazon, obviously, and in other places. There's an audio book, an e-book, and a paperback. But as far as what you specifically said regarding events and other things, my website, which is a stupid name that I never should have even made a website based around, as it turns out, it's just an abbreviated version of the book, IDFLYOBJ, IDFLYOBJ.com. I thought if I shorten it, then I don't have to, nobody has to type in anything anymore. That was such a 1990s mentality. Like, we can all just Google stuff. So honestly, if they Google anything, it'll come up at this point.
Well, it's been a lot of fun having you on. It was definitely a topic that was new and exciting for us. So we had tons of questions, and we really appreciate having you on.
Yeah, it was great. It was great talking to you guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.